Local people, local stories. From KYW News Radio, this is the All Local.
Presented by Penn Medicine. We will not rest until it's done. Governor Murphy is frustrated that COVID vaccination rates are lagging among staffers at long-term care facilities. As KYW's Mike DiNardo reports, he's considering mandating the shots for nursing home staff.
While 82% of residents in New Jersey long-term care facilities have received the COVID vaccine, only 58% of staffers have. A state dashboard shows that in Camden County, 78% of long-term care residents are vaccinated, compared with 56% of the staff. At his Monday press briefing, Governor Murphy was asked if he was thinking about making vaccinations mandatory for people who work at long-term care facilities.
Would we consider other steps? I think if we had to, we will. Honestly, this is one that is one of the few areas that, frankly, is somewhere between frustrating and angering for us.
Murphy noted that early in the pandemic, the state's nursing homes were particularly hard hit. He urged relatives of residents to ask nursing home management about their plans to get staff vaccinated. Another new section of the state's online dashboard also displays the percentage of vaccinated adults for each New Jersey town. Gun violence gets the headlines, but two-thirds of gun deaths are suicide. KYW Suburban Chief Jim Melbert says a bipartisan group of state lawmakers is pushing for legislation that can temporarily remove access to guns if someone is at risk to themselves or others.
Philip Grant with the Norristown Veterans Center and the Montgomery County Suicide Prevention Task Force.
What we find with firearms and veterans is there's a higher likelihood for access to firearms, and there's generally a greater level of comfort with them and with death.
He calls that the perfect storm for suicide. Dr. Kenneth Serta with the Pennsylvania Psychiatric Society points out two-thirds of gun deaths are suicide, contrary to common thinking.
Most people with mental illness who have guns turn it on themselves, not on someone else.
He says mental health treatment's often effective, but they need a couple weeks for antidepressants to take effect. He says ERPO, emergency risk protection orders, can give them that time.
ERPO are civil court orders that temporarily remove guns from someone who may be at risk to themselves or others. State Rep. Todd Stevens is in the process of introducing them to the legislation for a third time. Supporters of ERPO point out it's a temporary restriction to firearms. The only similar option currently is an involuntary commitment, but that carries a lifetime firearm restriction. Authorities are searching for several shooters following a violent weekend in Philadelphia where seven people were killed and more than a dozen others were wounded. As KYW's crime and justice reporter Kristen Johansson explains, three of those victims are teenagers.
Police say 18-year-old Khalil Burgess and 19-year-old Nazir Vesey were sitting in a car along 21st near Cambria Street when another car pulled up and fired, fatally shooting Burgess in the head and firing multiple bullets into Vesey, who later died at the hospital. Another 18-year-old was with them and was also injured. Chief Inspector Frank Venor.
I mean, I've seen a lot of violence. This is more violence than I've ever seen.
Five people were shot along Albana Street near Rising Sun Avenue in Olney, including 17-year-old Samir Lindsay, who was found dead on a porch, alongside 23-year-old Markel Amir Smith Rafi, who was also fatally shot.
We're very concerned. We need people to put down the guns, to know that if someone has a gun, they got to let us know so we can try to intervene.
Meanwhile, homicide detectives are sifting through surveillance video, social media posts, and interviewing anyone who could be connected. As always, there is a $20,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and conviction. There are 185 homicide victims so far this year, up 35% from last year's nearly record-breaking year. Philadelphia officials say Martin Luther King Drive will reopen to cars on August 1st. KYW City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb reports it may look a little different when it does.
The drive closed early in the pandemic when traffic was light to encourage more outdoor activity and at work. Randy Lobasso of the Bicycle Coalition says it became the most used bike and walking trail in the state. But Councilman Curtis Jones says neighbors were not thrilled as traffic came back and detoured onto local streets.
The negative impact to the surrounding communities is pretty substantial. Increases in traffic. I got a lot of complaints, Pat.
A city spokesperson says officials are indeed reviewing ideas for adjustments. She also says the road will remain closed to cars on weekends through October and possibly beyond. That's the All Local. I'm Justin Udo. Listen live anytime on the Odyssey app and on your smart speaker. Just say play KYW News Radio.